Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse in Santa Maria, California, your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. What does it mean when the wicked prevail and the righteous are forsaken? And what will these demoncrats do with their power now they have it all in their hands? How do we respond to the spectacle playing out before us? And where do we find hope and faith?
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
So what does it mean when the wicked prevail and the righteous are forsaken? And you probably noticed that my voice is a little off today, so bear with me. You know, it is not generally understood that God deals with nations differently from how he deals with individuals. It seems obvious, but we don't stop and think about that. God always has a remnant. He never forsakes the remnant. To them he promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. However, in Scripture, there is a distinction made between individuals in a nation that are his people and that nation as a whole. You see, he will forsake a nation if that nation forsakes him. Joash was a good king so long as Jehoiada lived. The faithful priest, Jehoiada, was his mentor and his adopted father. When he died, Joash became a jerk, and the people fled from God and turned to idols. Well, here's what Jehoiada's son said, Zechariah, in 2 Chronicles 24:20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye against the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And right after that proclamation, God sent an enemy down upon Judah, and all these wicked people, including that faithless king, were destroyed. Has God forsaken America? Now, I'm going to conclude with my assessment on that question. But let's look at what it means when the wicked prevail in a nation, even temporarily. You need to understand that these scriptures from the Holy Word of God are to be understood within the context of that holy book. Or in other words, when it speaks of people as being in one of the two general categories, the righteous and the wicked, well, these are understood within the context of Scripture. A little while back, I preached a message in which I explained that while all men are sinners, not all men are wicked. If you're a Calvinist and you're chafing at this, the statement is actually consistent with Calvin's view of things. He said more than once that total depravity does not mean that every sinner will be as evil as he or she could be. Indeed, there is none righteous, no, not one. But that doesn't mean that persons who are not born again or saved cannot be God-fearing or persons of good character and morals that are conformable to the Bible, or even directly shaped by the Bible. Cornelius is a perfect example of that. Read Acts 10:11. He was not yet saved or born again when the angels presented a report concerning him that he was God-fearing, generous, devout. Jesus spoke of those who are sinners, but whose heart is honest and good. He didn't mean good in the sense that God is good. He meant good in the sense that it works or operates correctly. He said that when the gospel seed falls upon such a heart, it takes root and brings forth fruit. Luke 8:15. Read Jesus' own words. In other words, the sinner who has an honest and good heart will accept the truth and his heart will work correctly and respond to it appropriately so that the truth will take root and bear fruit. Godly sorrow that works the repentance that is unto salvation. Not only is it true that a sinner can be righteous in the limited sense in which I'm explaining it right now, the righteous can be wicked. Sometimes the saint can become wicked, turn against God, despise God, and so commit the sin unto death, John warned us. What Ananias and Sapphira did was wicked. I mean, they lied to the Holy Ghost. God struck them dead. What the believer did in the church at Corinth, you know, the guy that committed fornication with his father's wife? Yeah, Paul instructed the church to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved. So he was a saved person, but he got wicked. 1 Corinthians 5. In his case, he repented and so was restored, but you get my point. Sometimes the saints become corrupted and become the enemies of God and of his work. So understand that I'm using these categories in the broadest sense in which they can be used and be true. Proverbs 11:10, when it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. This is what God says about it. When the righteous, and here again, I'm not talking about those who necessarily have the imputed righteousness of Christ, that would certainly include them. I'm including in this category God-fearing people whose morals are shaped by God's word, whether or not they are converted, like the Apostle Paul, or yet unconverted, like the centurion named Cornelius. When it goes well with these sorts of people, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Okay, so I think you understand what I mean by the righteous and the wicked in these categories. So hear these holy scriptures. Hear what God says about this. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, the expression, the people, it refers to those that are identifiable as identified with God. A little more theology here so you can rightly understand these things. Did you know that when God referred to Israel as my people, he was including many who were not actually persons that believed in God, like their father Abraham, who believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul explained this when he said, not all Israel are Israel. In other words, not all in the congregation of Israel were like Abraham, who believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The same thing is true today. There are many that are God-fearing, like Cornelius, but who have not yet come to believe unto salvation. Now, we need to preach the gospel and cast the seed of truth upon every heart, because you never know what heart it'll fall on. And so, anyway, you get the idea. There are those who are enemies of God. They hate Jesus Christ. They are the poneros, perverted, the kakos, the bad, like bad figs, the anomos, without law, that is lawless, the athesmos, illicit or illegitimate, like Biden taking the office of president. So what does it mean when the wicked are in authority? It means the people mourn. It means they groan, sigh, grieve. What does it mean then if God allows, and not approves of it, but allows a city to be ruled by the wicked? Well, for the wicked, it means they're empowered to advance the cause of Satan, which then God uses as a chastisement upon a city or a nation that has forsaken him. But as for the righteous, it means God has called us to mourning. Now, I'm going to be preaching about this Sunday. Don't want to miss it. But let me tell you this much now. If God has called us to mourning, a season of mourning, it is to discover who among us will sigh and cry for the sins of the people. It means he's getting ready to drop a heavy judgment upon the land. It means he is going to send out the man with the inkhorn to mark those who are mourning over the sins of the wicked rulers of our land, because he's preparing to judge. And you know that when judgment begins, it begins in his house. So we get a chance to, if we judge ourselves, we need not be judged. And this is your warning. This is your call to mourn. More Sunday, and I mean a whole lot more. I want to make certain I got that message to you. What are the Democrats planning to do with their victory, quote unquote? You know, Tucker hit the nail on the head. Instead of being glad they won, they're angrier than ever. And they're going to turn on Trump supporters and continue pursuing him. It is very obvious to anyone listening to the left right now that they have gone off the rails. And you thought it couldn't get worse. Pelosi's going to continue forward with impeachment. Why? I mean, it's the way of the wicked, friend, fully committed to using whatever power they get from Satan to further oppression, to double down. Satan's way is always oppression and the full use of power to do it. Whereas the righteous, they're scaredy cat. You know, they're afraid to use power when it's put in their hands. They hem and haw, they equivocate. They attempt in every way to placate the wicked. And they think that holding back the sword is a mark of goodness. They don't understand that when the righteous hold back the sword from blood, they are under the curse of God. Jeremiah 48:10. But you know the wicked? They're not afraid to use power when they have it to do evil. They will go above and beyond in their service to wickedness. Literally, Brennan has provided a plan to Biden to identify Trump supporters, particularly leaders among them, to be singled out for being removed. And AOC, she's excited about sending Trump supporters to re-education camps. I kid you not, friend. That's what she's promoting right now. You're hearing the echo chamber of the MSM right now, conditioning people for what's coming. Repeatedly referring to Trump supporters as dangerous, likening us to terrorists, equating us with ISIS. I mean, serious people in positions of quote-unquote authority are talking about these things right now, telegraphing their next move. They want to scare all Trump supporters away from declaring themselves as supporting Trump and to make sure we don't rise up against them. And I don't mean with arms. I mean, they don't want our voice speaking against them because they know we outnumber them. They want to squash any effort on the part of any patriot to ever think that they're going to take power from them again. They press on to utterly destroy their opponents. What will the weak and sniveling on the right do? They'll do what they always do. They'll cooperate with them. They'll join them. They'll cave like they always do. They're going to say to fake president, "Yes, Mr. President, whatever you say, Mr. President. And we're praying for you, Mr. President." And I've spoken to that, and you know what I mean. If you're praying that that guy will repent of his wickedness and sin and get right with God, I'm with you. If you just say, "I'm praying for you," like you want him to succeed, you're out of your mind. Christians who railed on Trump openly, mocking him, oh, they'll bow to Biden. They'll never call him out for anything he does is wrong because these people are phony and they are being exposed as among the many that will say on that day, "Lord, Lord," and Jesus is going to tell them, "I don't know you." And among those that will fall when the judgment of God comes down upon us. And if the righteous, the few remaining in our government and military, will acknowledge the truth about this usurper and turn their back to him and refuse to send a government jet to carry him to the White House, did you hear about that? And disinvite him to the Pentagon, did you hear about that? Well, Christianity Today will support the new fake president and write, they'll spin it this way: Biden prefers to charter his own plane. You bunch of phonies. Just about the time I think the exposure phase is over, the discovering of Judah that I'll talk about Sunday morning, the revelation of the hidden doors behind the small hole in a wall where we see them in their secret chambers privately worshiping Satan, their Baphomet, the gender-blended god with goat's head and dragon's wings, where liars congratulate themselves on their ability to control others through deceit and threats. And then outside those chambers where the weak and sleepy saints cower and hide and fear to speak the truth to the lie because the wicked have taught them speaking truth is mean and it hurts people's feelings. That and because they are afraid. The Christianity of today has the world for their Bible. The spirit of Satan is their Lord. Dear Franklin is learning, sadly, what his father's watered-down gospel has produced. Christianity today is certainly not the Christianity of our founder. It has been shaped by the world, not the word, as a synagogue at the turn of the century was by the Spirit called the synagogue of Satan. So now I hear the Spirit speak of the ecclesia of Satan. The tares have taken over the churches, not all of them, of course. But anyway, how do we respond to the spectacle playing out before us? A fake election producing fake electors, certifying a fake president-elect, and the inauguration of a fake president, followed by a flurry of fake executive orders that have no authority, by the way, because it's a fake government. No one holding office who has fraternized with China and colluded with foreign powers to steal an election has any legal authority to hold office in America. And all of this supported by fake news. Well, we don't respond to it with fake hope and fake faith. We respond with genuine hope and genuine faith. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back with some real hope.
Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today, and Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood,
The Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com.
As everybody knows, my family, our great country, and your president have been put through a terrible ordeal by some very dishonest and corrupt people. They have done everything possible to destroy us, and by so doing, very badly hurt our nation. They know what they are doing is wrong, but they put themselves far ahead of our great country. Weeks ago and again yesterday, courageous Republican politicians and leaders had the wisdom, fortitude, and strength to do what everyone knows was right. I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong. Nor do I like people who say, "I pray for you," when they know that that's not so. So many people have been hurt. We can't let that go on.
Prisoner wishes to say a word.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps to the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Yeah, my voice is a little off today. Bear with me. Let's talk about real hope. Friend, only a fool would hope in 2022 or the 2024 elections. I mean, really? Do you think the Democrats are ever going to let the people decide ever again? No way. The entire nation is going to be Californiaized. We have had no honest election in California for, I don't know, decades? And now this has spread all over the country. The Democrats control enough of the states that will cooperate with them in election fraud so that they will never lose another election. So it's vital to them that they stop the Trump movement. Because that movement is the only potential threat that is against them. At least that's what they believe. Well, Jerry, you said hope. This doesn't sound like hope to me. Everything we had our hopes in has failed us. Man, we hoped the state legislators would step up and, you know, maintain voter integrity. They failed. We hoped the courts would step up. They failed us. We hoped Congress would step up. They failed us. We hoped Pence would step up. He failed us. And I thought Trump would use his power to stop all this, but... Well, he flew away. Did he fail us? Well, he's talking about starting a political party that will do what? You can't gain political power without winning elections. And, well, we saw how that went. These people in power right now are impervious to influence from the majority. They don't need a majority. They know that we are the majority, and they have said they don't need us. You see, they have the Dominion machine, don't they? The Dominion. I told you what was significant about that name, didn't I? They hold the Dominion. And as we saw, they're going to double down their advantage. So here comes millions of voter supporters coming across the border. Yeah, the legalization of millions already here that are here illegally. Automatic Democrat voters. You think they're not going to include and bring in the territories of states if they can? And stack the Supreme Court. These people will use their power for evil, and they will defy the Constitution, which they have declared to be an outdated document anyway. And they will fully repudiate the Declaration, and they will force themselves upon us and become the arbiters of our inalienable rights. So, Jerry, what are you saying when you say, "I thought you were going to give us some hope"? I have spoken to this extensively in my live stream visits through Facebook called Comfort and Counsel for the Present Distress. Check us out, like the page, and set up notifications. I said that when God allows a nation to come under the power of the wicked, he doesn't approve of it. But when he allows that to happen, it is to chastise his own to provoke them to mourn. That this is a sure signal. He is getting ready to act. I hope this message gets out there. Friend, it's the one missing element in all of the meticulous preparations that have been made to retake America for God. The humble cry of his people must reach God's ears. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the lowly. Cry and sigh for the sins you see, and they will soon be made widely public. Then you will be aghast, and then you will see God arise. This one verse should be all you, the saints, the righteous, need to be filled with hope every day you get up. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Isaiah 59:19b. You see, if that isn't enough for you, what can I say? Now I'm going to bring some things to your attention that might be the answer of that promise. But even if it's not, that promise remains, and we can continue looking for the standard to be raised up. God will raise up a standard against this enemy. Now, I said this humbling of the saints in submission to God is the missing element in all the preparations that have been put forward to return this nation to an under God status. What preparations are those? Friend, understand something right now. America did not vote for this. And America does not support what these wicked people are doing with the power they have stolen. We don't need America to wake up. America is awake. We need the remnant to repent and humble themselves. Look, 80 million voting Americans voted for the Constitution, for freedom, against tyranny, against censorship and oppression. The wicked know this. They know full well that the majority of Americans are awake to their deceit. And they've got just a little time remaining, and they're rushing as fast as they can to get us all under oppression. One MSM outlet's even trying to put out some lame apology. Yeah, no kidding. Admitting that they were unfair to Trump. Excuse me? Unfair? Nah. That letter Trump left for Biden makes it very clear that we know, they know. Trump left a letter and it said simply, Joe, you know I won. There has been a plan in the making for a long time. Let me lay out as much as I can that is supportable by actual factual fact. In 2013, you might remember drawing especially on laws, by the way, put in place in the 50s to protect America from what was anticipated to be a hostile attempt to take over our country by communist Russia. Well, the Pentagon generals put out a notice in 2013 that, according to the law, the military can act independently of the executive or the commander-in-chief in cases of extraordinary emergency when it is impossible to get direction from the commander-in-chief. It went into effect, by the way, May of 2013. And many on the left were squawking about this being dangerous, and they feared that the military is getting ready to take out Obama. And here's some articles on that here and here and here, and you can look at them if you get my notes. What scenario can you conceive in which the commander-in-chief would not be able to provide authorization for military action? Now think about this. The president is incapacitated. Okay, the VP steps up. He, or in this case she, is out. Well, up steps the Speaker of the House. And if she's in prison, it can't you get my point. There's no conceivable scenario in which it makes any sense that you would need a law like this, except one. And we are living in it right now. Trump's term ended, constitutionally ended January 20. It was his last day as president. Biden, however, is holding the office illegally. He is a fake president. Kamala is a fake vice president. The House Speaker is compromised by her recent act of treason when she tried to get the Joint Chiefs to give the nuclear codes to her. And that's not all, by the way. That's not even the worst of the reasons that she must be arrested and put on trial for her crimes. But it's one that's already out there for everybody to see. Trump signed an executive order in September of 2018. So that preparation was made back in 2013. Now Trump gets in, he signs an executive order in September of 2018, putting America in a state of emergency. That's right. And this state of emergency is directly connected with concern that foreign states would interfere in our elections. And it gave the president broad powers to act against these states' financial assets. He initiated these actions only, about a month before he left office. And some states, that is some countries' assets, have already been touched by this thing. Italy, for example. And China's coming, friend. By the way, Biden's executive orders, he can't undo all this. He has no authority. He has no authority. He's not legally the president of the United States. The United States does not have a president right now. The point is, according to U.S. code, it is against the law for any person to hold office under sworn allegiance to defend the Constitution from foreign and domestic enemies, for them to be complicit in sedition, to be compromised by their connections to a foreign power that is the enemy of our nation. China, and they're all connected to China, and several other nations joined together in interfering with the 2020 election. They've all stepped into it. They are the enemies of the state. And the 14th Amendment says that these people connected to them are illegally holding their offices right now. They cannot legally govern. So right now you have a situation, the only scenario in which that order could have any conceivable application, that the entire government is collapsed. We have no president. We have no VP or House Speaker who can authorize any military action at all. It fits the scenario of the May 2013 order. So our military could act at any time. They could move in, arrest all the imposters, put them on trial, reestablish a constitutional government, because you see, that's what they're sworn to protect and to defend from all enemies, foreign and domestic. That would be consistent with their oath of office. And it's legal. Will they act? Look, the Democrats are afraid of this. That's why they wanted to vet the National Guard and clear out any Trump supporters. They're looking over their shoulder, man, and waiting for the next shoe to drop. They know they've done wickedly. The wicked, you know, run when no man pursueth. That's why they huddled the National Guard in the parking structure, trying to keep them contained, sleeping on concrete. They are afraid of them. They are afraid of our military because they despise our military, and they know our military despises them, and rightly so. You know, I mean, except for the incompetent Obama appointees. But Trump, I understand, has, 800 soldiers in rank from general to colonel standing by him? Or really not standing by him, because Trump is not their commander. He's not president. But they are under the command of persons loyal to the Constitution and not loyal to the corrupt lying Biden brigade. Will they act, though? Will they move forward? And of course, they will wait till all traitors are revealed, and they will wait till they can move forward with the greatest element of surprise. And that's not all. Don't forget God. Now, look, here's the key. I speak to this tomorrow, fully my message. Don't forget God. His eye is on the church, friend, the true churches. And he is looking for his own to humble themselves and pray. He's not waiting for some ecumenical hodgepodge of tares and wheat crying out to Baal. He's not going to hear that. He's waiting for the remnant to receive the outpouring of his spirit of prayer and supplication and to cry out to him to receive the mark of humility. So when the judgment does set forth and it begins in the house of God, these will be protected. I have lit the lamps, the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114 to leave a message for me, or go to our website, godswar2020.com. GodsWar2020.com. Find the contact button there, or call me from there, and so on. You can engage with our ministry at that place. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.